folks, we can all rest a little bit better tonight. Germany has arrested three suspected Auschwitz guards. Three men, aged 88, 92, and 94, have been detained by German authorities on suspicion of being guards at the Nazi death camp at Auschwitz. This is a great story, folks, for us to dive into with our guest tonight, colleague and fellow host, Clint Richardson, Corporation Nation. You all know him, you all love him. What's up, Clint?
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Hey, man. So, 88, 92, 94. What do you think? Operation Paperclip missed them? Maybe they were too, you know, too small, too low level, and they didn't decide to get on that boat to the jungle in South America?
It's possible. It's possible. I wonder if they were guards. I mean, are they being accused of something besides being quote-unquote guards?
It says they were guards. Okay. It says the three men detained all live in southwestern... let's see. The decision to take action against alleged Nazi guards followed the conviction in May 2011 of John... No, I'm not seeing anything about what they did besides the fact that they were guards. You know, my grandfather died in the Holocaust. He fell off the watchtower. All right, that was a bad joke coming from somebody who comes from a Jewish family.
Well, what is your take on all that? I mean, let's just take an example. Now, I used to do a radio talk show. I used to guest host every Friday or so. And one day we were talking about the I made the mistake of saying that I'd watched the movie Defamation. You seen Defamation, Bob?
I don't believe I have.
I got to tell you, man, of all the movies people should be watching, it's Defamation. Defamation was a documentary made by an Israeli that shows exactly what's happening with basically indoctrination system. We have our own indoctrination system, obviously, over here in America.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, man, the one they've got going on over in Israel is not to be beat. Because in this movie, Defamation, they show, I think it's a 2 or 3 week program where they take kids that are basically high school aged, beautiful, beautiful kids, Jewish kids, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful children. And when I say that, I mean they're just like any American kid. They're just like any Japanese kid. They're wonderful, wonderful children. They're smiling. They're laughing. They could give a crap about Jewishness or Americans or Germans or anything else. And what do? They take them on a whirlwind tour of Auschwitz, of course, the rebuilt Auschwitz.
Sure, sure.
And, excuse me. I've got this cough I can't get rid of. Excuse me. And they take them to, and they show them the piles of hair and all the little tools they use to convince people that the Holocaust was something other than what it was. And so I made the mistake of on air saying yes. And so this film shows them taking these kids around, these beautiful, wonderful, innocent children, taking them around to all these museums, which they call prison camps or, labor camps, whatever, extermination camps. And I say,
concentration.
Here was the phrase I used. I said, fake Holocaust museums. That's what I said. Holocaust museums. And next thing I know, the ADL had called the station and, let's just say forcibly requested that I now no longer be a guest.
You're kidding me. The ADL actually called the station?
Yes, it's a badge of honor as far as I'm concerned.
I was going to say, congratulations.
I know. And the host, actually had a show there, and then he was just sub-hosting every Friday and whenever the other host wasn't there. So basically... Yeah, I said the magic words, I guess. I said fake Holocaust museum because that's what they were showing in, I mean, there's an Israeli guy in the movie. It's a must-see movie, by the way. By the end of this two-week whirlwind tour of all these things, these innocent children become vicious, vicious Jewish identified hate mongers. I mean, they all of a sudden they hate white Germanic people to no extreme. It's an amazing, amazing look at how kids are being brainwashed. Jewish kids are being brainwashed. And I believe it's not just limited to Israel. I believe they'll take anybody, basically.
And it's not just limited to Jewish kids, for that matter. The propaganda on that front has been perpetuated in schooling here. You know, I bet Common Core's got a nice section on the Holocaust. I can guarantee that.
I'll tell you what, Common Core, as far as my research went, and I did a lot of research. It's a front for the ADL. I mean, the ADL is writing the lesson plans for the military through Common Core. Military, all of our military, CIA, our FBI, have been on Common Core standards for, since the 90s. People don't know this. And they're writing the lesson plans on what it is to be Arab, the Arab Spring, the Holocaust. I mean, all of this information is coming from the ADL. The ADL is actually banning books through the Common Core system. Any book, for instance, they use Shakespeare.
Wait a second, I thought that's only something the Nazis did.
Oh, yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah, they call it, I'll think of the term. It's in my blog, but they call it anti-biased education. In other words, they go through all the books. Like the example they used was The Merchant of Venice. Merchant of Venice, of course, is all about the Jew, I can't remember the name now, but it's just very, very, what they say is anti-Semitic. And of course, what does Semitic mean? They kind of added Jew to Semitic here in the last century. But
right.
we're talking about Black African and Arab to be Semitic, right? So
yeah, people that speak the Semitic languages. Sure.
Exactly. So, wow, it's an amazing, amazing front they've got going. So they're literally writing the lesson plans for children. They're writing the gay, lesbian, transgender lesson plans to teach kids through pictures and other history. I mean, it's all coming from the ADL. I mean, you can go to their website and it's spelled out there, right there for you. You can read about it. Go to ADL Common Core and you'll be shocked at what's coming out of that place. So, like I said, yeah, I was pretty much banned. Now the station, the local station, are playing commercials for the American Jewish Congress, and I mean, it's basically been completely taken over by, if you will, international Zionism. So it's a sad thing, because I'll turn the station on every once in a while, and it's just pro-Israel this, pro-Israel that. That's the host that used to be on, that's still on in the mornings, he won't touch the subject. I mean, he saw what happened to us. So,
well, I'm not afraid to touch any subject, Clint, because the truth is the truth, and I think we should flesh things out and take a look at things using critical thinking and so on and so forth. Clint, when I come back from this next break we're going to take, man, I want to give my official Bob Tuscan, comes from a Jewish family, I'll put that in, you know, parentheses, position on the Holocaust, okay? So I don't want to give away now, but I'll give my official position when we come back. And you may or may not be surprised with what I have to say about that. And we'll also take your calls with Clint Richardson and myself, 800-313-9443.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt. To outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race.
Okay. Okay, here's the official position of Bob Tuscan, not that you care, on the Holocaust. Since we had that news story that we read in the beginning of the show tonight, of the three guards from Auschwitz who were arrested. Now, I haven't done a tremendous amount of research on Auschwitz and the camps and whatnot, I'll be honest. I have heard some things. I have seen some documentaries. But I have a few problems with the official narrative. Just like I have a few problems with almost all official narratives, but that's besides the point. First of all, Clint, as you know, man, it's illegal to question the official story or to present something contrary to what the powers that shouldn't be have provided with their his story. In several countries.
Pretty amazing right? Facts right there, actually.
Yeah, and that right there alone, whether or not you agree with the entire validity of the Holocaust or whatnot, that right there is pretty darn startling. I can't think of anything else that has the same sort of rule attached to it. Can you think of anything else?
Not really. We have our key words here that are picked up by the NSA, but other than that, I mean, there's no official story that can't be. I mean, I compare it to outlawing, you know, asking questions about 9/11.
It would be that insane. So that right there alone is a major red flag to me, and I think that ought to be looked at. The other thing I have a problem with is Hollywood. We know the players behind Hollywood, many of which are quite Zionist or Jewish or whatever you want to say. That's neither here nor there in a sense. But my point is that there is a tremendous amount of attention that the Holocaust gets. There's what? A million Steven Spielberg films on the topic. There's, I don't know, Schindler's List, and but the list goes on and on and on. Point being, there's very little attention in general of other genocides that I think trump the supposed genocide or partial genocide, depending on if you're a revisionist. I'll put that all aside. The point is, we have how many people that died in Russia? How many people that died during the Holodomor? That's the name, right? Holodomor?
Holodomor, yeah. Well, you know, and that's one of the things that the ADL is trying to cover up as well. They patently deny that the Bolshevik Revolution was a Jewish movement, that the, you know, Lenin and Trotsky and Gibinovich or whatever his name was, that all the leaders and you know, were quote-unquote the quote-unquote Jewish, and that, you know, you even had Putin come out not too long ago giving back some of the books back and saying we hope that this atrocity, this Jewish atrocity, never happens, you know, again in this world. So, unfortunately, you got the ADL now trying to change history of that particular, you know, where tens... You know, I hear different stories on that, but tens of millions of white Germanic, you know, farmers were killed.
Sure. Then, in addition to all my other problems here, we have the media obsessing over it. I said that. Let's see, what's my next point here? But the Holocaust. Oh, we have the fact that some Jews were able to prosper and able to live very cushy lifestyles and flee and so on and so forth. And the little Jews, I see, this is how I break it down, Clint, when we're talking about the Holocaust. Capital J and lowercase j. Even in the official story of the Holocaust in the ghettos, there were Jewish enforcers of the other Jews, the poor Jews. And I think that genocide right there did take place. But we had Jewish people behind it. Okay, so if anything, it was a purging of a particular race by its own race to a certain extent. And I don't know if I've thought that out thoroughly, and I don't know if that makes sense, but
well,
that's another thing.
Let me read you a couple quotes. Here's from the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1943, volume 10, page 312. Quote, Leon Trotsky, quote, was one of the greatest Jewish generals in history. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he was given a peace award, actually. He says, the Bolsheviks were led by non-Russians who hated the Russian people. I mean, you know, you go on and on and on with these kind of quotes. You can read about the Red Army and what there's a book called Mail Online, October 24th, 2008, describing a new movie. Again, a movie people should see, A Woman in Berlin. A Woman in Berlin. And the headline was Stalin's Army of Rapists, Brutal War Crime in Russia and Germany, the brutal war crime that Russia and Germany tried to ignore, as well as the estimated 2 million rapes in Germany. There were between 70,000 and 100,000 in Vienna, and anywhere from 50,000 to 200,000 in Hungary, as well as thousands in Romania, Bulgaria, which had been quote-unquote pro-Nazi, but also in Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Yugoslavia. But, you know, you go on, you read these quotes, and you read quotes from U.S. soldiers who were actually guarding, after World War II, were actually guarding the camps and letting the white German people, farmers, basically, that were in the camps and guards and everything else, they were letting them starve. This was the policy of our president.
Yep.
So,
exactly,
I mean,
right. And then we couple that with disease, you know, there was no doubt typhus going around and whatnot. I mean, that right there was responsible for many deaths. And my last point here, I don't mean to interrupt here, but I have one last point that I want to make before the segment ends. You've heard of the State of Israel before, right, Clint? I'm sure you've heard of it. Oh, it's in the Middle East.
I don't recognize it, no.
I don't recognize it either, but you've at least heard of people who recognize it. And anyways, long story short, you know what their motto is? Their national mantra?
I guess not.
Never again.
Oh, yes, yes.
Never again. So, first of all, the Holocaust is a pretext, in a sense, to Zionism. It is, at the very least, something, a piece of history that fuels the need for this criminal Jewish or so-called Jewish state. And meanwhile, even though their motto is never again, never again, they're essentially doing the same thing that they accused those Germans of doing to certain Jewish people. To the Palestinian people, or if you don't like that label, since there's no real Palestinian people, to the people who had been living there for thousands of years in peace before the implementation of the criminal state of Israel. So we have the same sort of tactics. Restriction of travel. Forced camps. Denial of health care. We have streets that are patrolled with armed guards. White phosphorus gas being dropped on them, so on and so forth. Yeah, you don't have gas chambers. But never again? Should that only apply to you and not these people? Shame on you.
The Bob Justin Show.
Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio, every cultural activity and every channel of information.
Well, times is tough, all right. It's tough, all right. It's tough, all right. It's tough, all right. It's tough, all right. Yeah, I'll say. Yeah, I'll say. Yeah, I'll say. It's the future. Welcome back to the Corporation Nations. Clint Richardson here with my guest, Bob Tuscan. How are you doing tonight, Bob?
Oh, good, Clint. Thanks for having me.
God, you sound Jewish.
I what?
I'm sorry. All right. Just joking, folks. Yeah, this is Bob, and that's Clint. All right. Yeah.
Hey, I want to cut in. I want to invite everyone. You know, I did a ton of research, and it's probably why I don't talk a lot about it on my own show. There's a lot of people out there. We're just kind of talking about this on the break that want to believe that the Jews took everything over, basically, and you know, for instance, I was having a debate on the Catholic Church, and I was showing how corrupt the Catholic Church has been since its inception, because it literally is the legal, you know, structure of canon law and everything. But see, people don't want to believe that the thing was corrupt. They don't want to believe the United States was corrupt from its beginning, that the Constitution was written by a bunch of Masons, which I have proven in triplicate in my research. People want to believe that there was something good. We always want to look back in history and we'll say, oh, well, we white folks, we started something good and then it got taken over. No, folks. Corruption, power corrupts absolutely. It doesn't matter who is in power. All right? So the problem is not that some ethnic group or in this case a group that identifies just, I don't even understand at all, as you say, it's a business, but you know, you can't sit here and say everything is bad because everything was taken over by the Jews. Everything was bad before that. This whole thing is we have to realize that, I guess, is the point. I threw together a massive research tome called Zionism 101, The Complete Story. It's on my blog, realityblogger.wordpress.com. I also did a second edition to that, and I even did a third one, which is on my old site, clintforp.com. But, I mean, and yes, it shows that there were 32 dual Israeli citizens in the Bush cabinet. Yes. Okay, it shows lots of different things that have to do, but it is certainly not to say that the entire people called Jews are responsible. As Bob was kind of joking, you're telling me that the deli owners are responsible for the world
or takeover? Jerry Seinfeld, for that matter.
Or Ben and Jerry. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think. It's like saying all Christians are responsible for all the corruption of the Catholic Church. Well, wait, which Christians? Which Christians are we talking about? Are we talking about the Baptist ones? Because what do they have to do with the Catholic Church?
And that's not to say it's not to say that several Jewish people who aren't privy to the actual compartmentalized, you know, effort of evil, creating wars and banks and all that, it's not to say that they blindly follow it and that they're naive and that they blindly support certain things or blindly accept what they're told about certain entities, but well, so does everyone.
This is why I say, of all the movies you could watch about this subject, watch Defamation. I don't know, it used to be on Netflix, I don't know if it is anymore, but seek it out. Watch Defamation so that you can see how the brainwashing subsists, how people turn to the dark side strictly through education. I mean, you have to understand that, you know, it's the control of innocence. It's hard to put into words, but it's just a patently ridiculous argument. And really what it does is it takes away the self-responsibility. People can easily say, oh, well, it's not my fault. I'm just sitting back and consenting by being silent about everything. I'm just going to say the Jews did it, and I'm going to live in tyranny and slavery. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous argument. It's fallacious and not good enough, to be honest, to God or to myself. It's not good enough for you to just sit there and say, oh, well, I can't do anything. The Jews took over. Sorry, I'm just going to live. I'm not going to do anything. Say, okay.
Jeez. All right, Clint. Well, we're going to take calls with you if people want to join in on this conversation. Dial us toll-free, 800-313-9443. But if you're Jewish, we do not want to hear from you. No Jews allowed. 800-313-9443. Let's talk to Kent for a moment. Hello, Kent.
Hi, Bob. I sent you an email with some information I just discovered this morning. And there's an outfit called Outernet as opposed to Internet. And it has a suffix .is, which I'm sure you know where that is.
And yeah, that's Iceland, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it's a plan to put 150 little, I guess, small satellites in orbit around the world. And the idea is that everybody in the whole world will have a little blue box, you know, holding your hand. And these 150 satellites are going to give you free information and internet service. And essentially, it's indoctrination. You know, we have all these free ABC, NBC, CBS, and you know, it's just giving us indoctrination after, you know, complete indoctrination. So this is a little scheme to indoctrinate the world. It's essentially that link there. I don't know if it's on your internet or not.
I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the website.
And, it's such a pretty little website, but if you read the 21st Century Wire about the.
Well, Ken, thank you for bringing this to my attention. I'm gonna look into this. You got my attention for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of a freaky thing, you know, because it's free, so everybody will want one, you know, and
right.
God knows what it'll tell you, but it won't tell you what the truth is. That's for sure.
So it's like the Obama phone. It's the Obama box, huh?
Yeah.
It sounds like Internet 2, in a sense. The idea that they're going to have a box to keep it in. Literally a box.
Yeah. Well, you know, all the people that have to pay for it, they're going to dump the pay and do this free stuff. And
right.
Well, then...
So they can watch Hulu.
Yeah. And then... Well then...
I'll tell you what.
You're paying with your soul. You're not, you know, it's like you make a deal with
exactly.
You're paying with your soul.
I'm going to put my own little conspiracy theory on this. You know, last time I think we talked, Bob, we were talking about FirstNet, which is the government's own private internet that's going to hit every single square foot of America, basically, North America, every basement. You can't get away from it. It's a signal, you know, a frequency. So if that's the private internet for government, then you got to figure that they've got to give something to the people so that they're satisfied, so that they don't care that government has its own private, you know, system. So it would make sense that these two are probably interconnected in some fashion. Two different systems, you know.
Very interesting. Kent, thanks for bringing that to my attention. I'll look deeper into that. Let's talk to Eddie now. Hello, Eddie.
Hello. Hi. How are you guys?
Hi. How are you?
Good, good.
All right, good. I have a question. I was just wondering, what do you guys think about this? Multiculturalism, right? Who do you think is behind multiculturalism? Who do you think is behind this? And do you think it would be white people trying to destroy white nations across the world?
I think it would be white people trying to destroy white nations.
Yes,
no, but I'm sure there are white people behind it.
Well,
in part.
The question really is, who do you think is behind that? Why would a white person try to destroy their own people?
Well, first of all, so go ahead, Clint.
Well, first of all, you know, you look at, I've done a ton, just so much, because it's one of the most fascinating topics I've ever covered, into genealogy research, okay? So when you look at your presidents, they're all of the same blood. In fact, at this point, I'm pretty much convinced through several different sources that the Constitution itself, which is a charter for a corporation, basically, was created for, quote-unquote, the people. Who were the people? They were all bloodline, basically, Masons, who were all related to the same king that they were supposedly, you know, getting independence from. And we have a succession of presidents that are all cousins of George Washington. I've conclusively shown all presidents are related to King John. I've shown their genealogical relationship.
Okay, correct. But isn't it a good question to ask? Weren't nations founded by the people, and then they elected a king to represent the people, or was it always just one group that just wanted to rule the world and kill everybody?
That's what I'm trying to get across, is that this country was not, or the Constitution or the corporation itself was not created for the people, because the people were the people who signed the Constitution. And in the Constitution, if you read it carefully, it says basically everything is left to the progeny of the people. It's for the future generations of the bloodline, is what it really boils down to. I know people don't like to hear that.
The Bob Justin Show.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
All right. Final segment with Quint Richardson tonight. I'm going to let him go. He's been on the air for far too long. You're probably sick of him. No. How can you be sick of Quint?
No.
Corporation H.
No.
Anyways. But thank you, Clint, for hanging out with me tonight. It's,
absolutely.
It's fun. Now that you do the show before mine, we never get to hang out anymore. So.
It's true. Well, you know, anytime, man.
Yeah, we'll do it again. We're going to take some final phone calls here at 800-313-9443 with Clint. I hate to bring this up now, but I need some Jew gold. Okay, just kidding.
Let me just say, just to finish my previous thought, not to leave it up in the air, the point I was trying to make is that this whole thing of the term white, you know, which was used to describe white people and multiculturalism. The point is, when you're talking when you're talking about a bloodline, and you're talking about the bloodline of the quote unquote royals, as they like to call themselves, you're basically, I mean, I hate to say it, but you're talking about almost a different species. From what I can tell, it's a negative and a positive. It's a different type of blood. Well, just give you an example. I mean, up until recently, until they have modern medical marvels, you know, the reason that the royals kept their you know, interbred it's a very, very simple concept. If you try to mix a negative Rh blood type with a positive Rh blood type, especially the mother's blood will literally fight as an infection the baby. It won't, you know, unless you suppress the immune system, and you can verify this online, very simply. In other words, until we're able to with modern medicine, suppress the immune system, these bloods did not mix, and there's a very, very important reason that there are certain diseases that are certain blood types. There's a reason why Jews, for instance, have a very, very significant set of blood diseases. Okay, it is a different blood type. So white, black, doesn't matter. It's blood, and you don't see blood. They used to hold up their hands, their arms, way back when in Spain to show that they had blue blood. The veins, the reason they didn't color their skin was to show the blue veins because it's copper-based blood.
I've never heard that before.
Right, to say it's a white thing, I mean, what is white? It doesn't matter. It's the blood, and that's
we all bleed red.
You know, even the Nazis, quote-unquote Nazis, were creating a blood test to identify Jewish blood, believe it or not.
Well, it's probably... anyways, I'll stop with the jokes. I'm a self-hating Jew, folks. I can't help it. not really. I love all people. I know. That makes me a multicultural... I can't even say the word. Bottom line is, yeah, people are people, in my opinion, and I respect the right to have, you know, your own cultures and whatnot. That's fine. Just like I don't support the state of Israel and the Jewish supremacist state, I sure as hell don't support a white supremacist state in the same fashion. And real quick, Lynn, I hate to bring this up with you on, but I'm going to. I'm financially hurting. I don't work for the Federal Reserve. My dad does not work for the Federal Reserve. I am independent and have a family and spend a lot of time. I'm basically full-time with this show and my activism and my writing. And you can tell by the work I do. And if you see value in that, please donate. Or if you want a sponsor, I'd love to take you on as a sponsor. Been doing this for years now. And now with the baby here, I got to kind of ask for a little bit of help. And I'm humbled to do so, but there it is. BobTuscan.com, right-hand side of the page. You'll see a donation tab, BobTuscan.com. And please email the Bob Tuscan Show at gmail.com for the PayPal stuff. The Bob Tuscan Show at gmail.com is the PayPal. All right, let's take some final phone calls with Clint and talk to Mark in Houston. Hello, Mark.
Hi, guys. You read me okay?
Sure do.
Hey, Clint's the perfect guy to talk to. He's so good with that legal stuff, and I was wondering about that business of establishing yourself as a U.S. national using that affidavit and that Roger Sales information, and I wondered if you thought that was valid. And the trouble I have is it's over my head. I don't understand it legally, and I'm not going to do something legally I don't understand.
Yeah, and you see, the problem, I fell into the trap of what you'd call the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code. I mean, if you just examine that phrase, Uniform Commercial Code, you have three words that you don't really want to be a part of. So the whole legal status of citizen or national, everything. National really refers to the nation itself. Citizen refers to the corporation that we call the United States, which is basically, according to the courts, is located in Washington, D.C., the district, sort of a foreign nation or a foreign corporation. So you are a national by default, if you will. So, I mean, you can become one. There's several different forms of national. On the passport, there are about 15 different types of citizenship or nationality that you can use. So, I mean, it's all up to you. Personally, I'm on the process. My path has led me to understand something much deeper, which is that I don't want any corporate ties whatsoever. I don't want to be a citizen. I don't want to be a national. I don't want to be anything. I don't want Social Security benefits, because with benefits come duties and obligations. And those duties and obligations include punishment, pain, taxes, and extortion of every kind. So,
yeah.
You know, personally, I want no contractual relationship. Now, if you choose to follow one of these quote-unquote gurus, you know, some of them are good, some of them are good. I'm not familiar with the one you're talking about. I do have some friends that are nationals, that claim to be nationals. They have no citizenship anymore. They create their own IDs, and they use farm use as their driver's status. So, in other words, it's a license plate that says farm use only. And if you look in the DMV code, it says no contribution necessary, and that you can drive your truck or whatever within 35 to 50 miles of the farm. So in that way, no insurance or no nothing needed. So there's all kinds of little tricks. But personally, I think that the only savior is really in the Bible. Unfortunately, people don't like to hear it, but I'm going to have a show every Wednesday from now on with a gentleman who explains this much better than I can. But essentially, the Bible is a remedy in law. The Bible is the law, unfortunately, when you actually discover what the Bible is. It's actually a very eye-opening thing.
Interesting. That goes over my head.
Into that.
What's that?
Yeah, what about dual citizenship?
Well, Mark, why don't you email Clint, because I want to fit in one last caller here before we run out of time.
I'll try to figure out his okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's on the website. Thanks, Mark. I want to squeeze in Richard because he was waiting, and I don't want to run out of time. Richard, see, I squeezed you in, man. Go ahead.
Thank you much. My two favorite conspiracy debunkers. That's what we have to call ourselves, conspiracy debunkers. And as Clint pointed out, it's a bloodline. I call them the interbreeding sociopathic tribe. But more than that, it's a monetary banking line. It started from the Medicis in Rome, and it's continued through that every century. If you follow the money, as the program says, you actually discover who rules the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I always considered Rome to be sort of, or the concept of Rome to be sort of a moving city, if you will. It goes from place to place. It's always based at the Vatican, but the Vatican is not Rome. The Vatican is its own city-state. And it basically, the power structure moves from nation to nation. usually every 200 and something years, you have a new empire, and the United States, unfortunately, is at the end of its rope. When comparing it to every other empire that's ever existed, we are at the end, the 200 and however many years we've been a corporation, you know, we're basically at the end of that cycle. It's called, I wish I could remember the name of the cycle, but it's an interesting, you know, concept anyway.
Well, what you have to consider is there's three independent entities, the City of London, the City of Washington, D.C., and the City of Rome, and they all do separate things for the interbreeding sociopathic tribe. Rome is essentially the quote-unquote educational center, the Jesuits. America, Washington, D.C., is the military arm, and the City of London is the banking arm, the monetary arm.
Yeah, we're the dumb soldiers over here. They call
right, thanks, Richard, for your call.
Yeah,
Clint, thanks for coming on, man. It was fun. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about.
All right. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be back in just moments.
The Bob Tuscan Show.